Hello and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. This is Thursday, January 31st, 2008. As always, I am your host, Raven. Today marks the 27th episode of the podcast. We've been going strong for over a year, although we did have, you know, that small break in the middle. But today we have a really good show for you, and we're going to get right to it because I like to keep the podcast kind of short, around 30 minutes in length. I know other podcasts like the Draw Podcast and Meeple's Managers and some of the other ones tend to go a lot longer, for an hour or longer even. And we find that half hour or about is a good time because, say, if you're painting some models or assembling or whatever, while you're waiting for the paint to dry and the glue to set, you can listen to the podcast. Plus, it fits really nicely on your MP3 player, like an iPod or whatever, so if you don't have a lot of space, you can get more of our episodes in and you can catch up all together, or while you're out and about, listen to them that way. Anyway, today's show, we have a lot of news to share with you about events and new releases and everything. We also have our usual Music to Game By segment, but today is very special because we're featuring Matthew Ebel's brand new song, Downtown. Additionally, we're going to be talking about Vampire Accounts and the Dawn of War Soulstorm demo. You can find all sorts of information about us, the podcast, and our blog, and everything by going to our website of wargamingforums.com. So first up is our news segment, and today we want to tell you about a great tournament that's going to be happening at Game Haven in North Dartmouth, Massachusetts. This is going to take place on February 9th. That's a Saturday, in case you were wondering. It starts around, I believe, 10 a.m., or rather, the store opens at 10, but if you're playing in it, you want to make sure you're there by 10:30 to be on the safe side, because if you're there later than around 11, you're not going to be able to play, and they're going to give one of your 20 guaranteed spots, if you don't show, to one of the alternates. I know by talking to some people over at Battleground Games in Abington that the event here at Game Haven in North Dartmouth is already booked. There's 20 spots, and they're already taken, but you can definitely go and try to get an alternate spot in case someone doesn't show up on time or doesn't show up at all for the event. It's $10 to get in this 2,500-point army, and you need to have 3 copies of your list. It has to be a legal army book list. You can't use anything from the alternate list on the back of the books or anything like that. And, of course, you know you have to have all your materials, your dice, measuring devices, counters, whatever, movement trays, that sort of stuff. If you need more information about the tournament, please call Game Haven at 508-961-0007, or you can visit their website, and that is over at gamehavenhobbies.com. Or if you go to our show notes, we have more information about this in an article that we have posted. And so hope you go. And just remember, if you win, and you're the grand prize winner, you get to win a 1,500-point Warhammer Fantasy Army of your choice, plus there's also some other prizes for other people who play. So I want to give big props to the Game Haven people. Brand new store down in North Dartmouth. There used to be another store down there called Grandmaster Games, which no longer exists, but I know that some of the employees who used to work at Grandmaster now work at Game Haven, and the Game Haven people are really, really nice. If you go to their website, you can also get into their message board and talk and stuff. They're really, really good people, so head on over to there. Also, this month, the brand new White Dwarf is out. It's issue number 337. It's a really good issue, and we had posted about it on our blog with some articles. We do our usual Inside the New White Dwarf and our quick picks, where we talk about the top 5 articles that we think would be really good if you're stressed for time, things you want to make sure you read. They might be really fast reads, something you can do while you're in the restroom, or maybe something really in-depth, but really good. And then the Inside the White Dwarf articles that we do just kind of tell you everything that's inside. You might not know whether you want to buy White Dwarf. Maybe you don't subscribe, but you pick it up if you think it's interesting. And maybe, you know, this month you're looking at the cover, you say, well, it has Lord of the Rings on the cover. I'm not really a Lord of the Rings kind of guy, so I'm not going to pick it up. Well, there's all sorts of other great things in issue 337, so you might actually want to pick it up. As you know, it's $6 at the store, so if you go to your friendly local gaming store, you can pick it up there. They have all sorts of great new releases. There's a really good article about the Horus Heresy series from the Black Library and an interview with Dan Abnett. They have a great new campaign that they ran in the studio called Conquest of Empires. And actually talking about that, in The White Dwarf, they mentioned in this article that if you go to, and they give a certain web address, that if you go to that, you can get more information about the campaign that they ran. And unfortunately, I have to say that Games Workshop made a big snafu. In last week's podcast, I talked about how, you know, Black Gobble kind of has no substance, and it's just kind of a quick thing to put out. And I even talked about, like, the editing and that kind of stuff. Well, I know some people think that White Dwarf, even though it's getting better, is full of errors. And, you know, they have some grammatical errors and some other kind of things that they could catch with a little closer editing. But we can all fall prey to that. However, this one is a huge error, and I say shame on you, White Dwarf's editorial staff. If you do have the White Dwarf, you look at page 62, it's the article right here on the Conquest of Empires campaign, which uses the Mighty Empires set. It says, more Mighty Empires online. This campaign uses rules, blah, 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 for sea tiles and racial things, espionage, all that kind of stuff. You can find these rules online at, and it gives an address. Well, the web address is for stuff that they had in White Dwarf issue 334. The correct issue for this, obviously, is the stuff for 337, and the correct URL that you want to go to is us.games-workshop.com/news/White Dwarf, that's one word, /WD337/WD337.htm. And in case you can't remember all of that, no matter how many times you play back this segment of the podcast, we have that on our website as well. And so you can definitely find that there and see what the correct stuff is. I gotta say, you really do want to go to that website that they had set up, because there's a lot of great stuff, a lot of really good pictures about the special tiles that they made, and a lot of good ideas for in case you want to do your own Mighty Empires campaign. Anyway, moving on. The new Black Gobble came out. It's issue 108. You can now get that available. And we have a link to that as well. And chances are, if you love Games Workshop as much as we do, you subscribe to Black Gobble. It's a free e-magazine. It's pretty decent. I know I had bashed it a lot last week, but it is, all things considered, a pretty decent online magazine. So you do want to head over and check that out, especially if you're a big 40K fan. I know there's been a lot of Apocalypse stuff coming out lately. And right now, the new flavor of the month are the Space Orcs. And I'm sure I'm one of the few people who still call them Space Orcs instead of just Orcs with a K. But I remember way back when they were called Space Orcs to differentiate them from the Orcs, or as they're now called, Orcs and Goblins for Warhammer Fantasy. But head on over to Black Gobble 108, because there's some pretty good stuff in there. And there's some Vampire Count stuff, too. But we're going to be talking about that in our Vampire Count segment. Also, if you're a big fan of the Privateer Press products, that's, you know, a tongue twister. But if you're a fan of War Machine, there's some new sneak peeks available. There's a new unit called Wither Shadow, or rather the Wither Shadow Combine is a full name. And if you're a Krix player, you're definitely going to want to check them out because they're one of your new units. Kator gets Yuri the Axe, and I mean, who couldn't tell it's for Kator with the name that has an axe in it, right? The Protectorate have a unit called Vassal of Minoth. And lastly, Signar gets Arlen Strangeways. All of the pictures are available on the Privateer Press website or through our show notes. They look really good, and you know what? I'd be surprised if Privateer Press put out models that didn't look good. I know metal models are way easier to make look nicer, but Privateer Press always goes above and beyond. This stuff looks really, really good, and you know, this just continues in that stead. Also, for those who love Mongoose Publishing and all the games Mongoose puts out, their new Signs and Portents is out. It's issue number 52. Both the Role Player and the Wargamer issues are available. You can get those direct from the Mongoose Publishing website. Just a reminder, though, that both of these are PDFs, so you're definitely going to need Acrobat Reader, or if you're on a Mac, and you should have Preview, which is a program that comes pre-installed, but you should have that. That'll play it. But if not, you can always download the free Acrobat Reader to see these. Each of the Signs and Portents are pretty lengthy. I believe it was like 70 or 72 pages just for the Wargamer one. And the Role Player one should be pretty lengthy too. But they cover a lot of stuff. It's a free, you know, magazine. So you might as well just go ahead and check it out, because it's sure to have something you like. And if you don't play anything by Mongoose Publishing, you know, if you don't play Battlefield Evolution, Sasha Troopers Evolution, or you don't play Babylon 5, the role-playing game, or the mini-game Call to Arms, or you don't play Conan, or any of their RPGs, and they have tons of them, You might want to start after looking at these, so definitely head on over and check those out. And then lastly, in less than 48 hours from now, the brand new CWF Gamecast newsletter is coming out. That will be for February 2008. And I know you're thinking, oh, dude, you're plugging your own stuff again. And yeah, I am, because it's my podcast, so I can definitely plug my stuff. And I like to think that people like the newsletter, so I'm hoping that, you know, you check it out when it comes out. You can definitely find that on our website as well. And there's going to be a lot of good stuff. Talked about a lot of great articles. There's going to be some videos in there for you to watch. So definitely head on over and check that out. But that's about all the news that we have for you right now. And that allows us to move on to one of my favorite segments. It's one we run every time. It is called Music to Game By. And as I had mentioned at the top of the show, today's Music to Game By features a brand new song by Matthew Ebel. Matthew is a new resident to Massachusetts. He moved here from Tennessee, and he's a great guy. I was actually talking to him earlier about some stuff I had questions with. He's been helping me a little bit with some questions that I had regarding recording this podcast. As I mentioned before, I've been using GarageBand and not entirely familiar with it, so he's a great source of information for that, and he's a great guy. I highly recommend that you listen to his stuff. And right now, we're going to be playing this wonderful song, Downtown, from his new album. And we're also going to be testing out a new little intro that I had created today, actually, for this segment. So, hope you enjoy it.
Warning. Coming up next is the Music to Game By segment in the CWF Gamecast. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this song. Future past the end of a nose.
your daddy gonna raise hell. He gives you money, but honey, your daddy don't give a damn unless you got a Johnny and you go in town.
So I hope you enjoyed that song by Matthew Ebel. It's Downtown, in case you couldn't remember. Matt just has a really good way with music, and I know he's going to go really far. He has this new album coming out, and he put out a few others before this. I think there were three. I could be wrong about that, though. But you can definitely listen to this song, order the CD, of course, and all his other stuff by heading over to his website of MatthewEbel.com. And in case you're afraid you're going to forget the URL for that, just head on over to our show notes and we get a link directly to his website. So thank you, Matthew, for making that song from your new album, Podsafe Tune. We love sharing Podsafe music, and especially music by Massachusetts residents. Sorry about that, people. Getting a little tongue-tied, and it's only, you know, halfway through the day. Anyway, we're going to be moving on to our next title. We're going to be talking about the new demo for Dawn of War. The new expansion, so to speak, is called Soulstorm. And, you know, before I actually talk about Soulstorm, I want to talk about Dawn of War's expansions in general. Dawn of War, the people who make it, Relic Entertainment, you know, they released these new things. First, it was Dawn of War, the core game. Really good game, especially if you like 40K, but even if you don't, it's a really good game. Then they came out with Winter Assault, and then there was the Dark Crusade, and now we got Soulstorm. Well, these expansions, excluding the Dark Crusade, really are not expansions. I know they're saying they are, but the expansions really just cover some new races. They don't really offer much new. You get some new races, so therefore you get some new units. And they give you some new units for old armies that were in previous builds. But this is really more of a mod. In case you don't know, a mod just really doesn't add any new substance, but it makes the game bigger. So these new races really are the only new thing to all these expansions. And I'm using the word expansions because that's the official term that the company is using. But any true gamer knows that these are really mods. And, you know, that aside, they're a lot of fun. They really are. And Soulstorm is a lot of fun, too. I played the demo, and I got it through Steam. And we have a link to the demo via Steam in our show notes. But it's a great demo. It allows you to play as the Dark Eldar. And also in this expansion, but not in the demo, are the Sisters of Battles. And that's going to be a lot of fun for my friend Steve, because he's a big Sisters of Battle and Howling Griffin player for 40K. But anyway, back to the Dark Eldar. The game's kind of fun, but, you know, it just kind of the same old of build a lot of something, swarm them, kill everything, move on. Build a lot of something, swarm everything, kill, move on. And so it's like, okay, you know, I've done that before. And you're thinking, whoa, this is supposed to be flyers in this, in aerial combat. That's a brand new thing. And you're right, there are supposed to be flyers in aerial combat. And there is flyers in aerial combat in this. But they're not really that great. If you look at the new units anyway, for the old races, you see the Space Marines get the Tempest Landspeeder. Chaos get a Helltalon Bomber. Eldar get their Nightwing. The Tau get the Barracuda. Imperial Guard get a Marauder Bomber. And then the Orcs get the Fighter Bomber. And you're thinking, well, what's wrong with this? They're really cool stuff. Well, first off, I think it's a little odd that some of these units are Forge World only, and as such, they're really used in a 40K tabletop game. Now, if you play an Apocalypse, yeah, you're probably going to toss some of this stuff in. But in your average 40K game, you're not going to be seeing a Fighter Bomber or a Nightwing. You're definitely not going to be seeing a Barracuda or any of that kind of stuff. It is nice to have this whole aerial combat element for Dawn of War. As a video game, in and of itself, having this extra dimension going from just the ground to the space above you, is really cool, and it's a great way to expand the game, but at the same time, it's kind of odd because how they implemented it is lackluster, at least in the demo anyway. Maybe they're going to fix it in the full release of the game. The aerial units, they kind of just like go and they stay in one spot and they attack. And it's really odd because the ground units are able to shoot back at them. And you're thinking, well, ground units can't shoot back at them, so that makes sense. They should be able to. Well, yeah, but if my space marines are, you know, which are on the ground, are shooting at stuff that is supposed to be way high up in the air, that makes no sense. We're not talking, like, close to the ground or anything. This is supposed to be really high in the atmosphere, making their attacks and all sorts of stuff. And my bolters shouldn't be hitting that up there. That's why there should be anti-aircraft weaponry that you're using. But it's, like, a waste because your space marines or whatever ground units are hitting the aerial units. And it's like, what? Also, what I think they should have done was, if you had played the old game for PC called Sudden Strike, which is a really good World War II game, they used a method doing bombing or attack runs, you would have your planes based at a landing strip, or whatever airport you had, or whatever. And then they would take off, and you would designate where you wanted them to attack, what buildings or units or whatever. And they would go and do an attack run. They would drop bombs or fire the guns or whatever. If Relic did this for this release of Dawn of War, it could have been really cool, because you could have even had the aerial units off-map, if you wanted, which is what Sudden Strike did. But if not, you could have them based at a landing strip somewhere, and then they could go and attack. If the landing strip was destroyed, you would lose the ability to use these aerial units. They could be taken out directly on the runway. All sorts of stuff could have done with this, and it wouldn't have been that difficult. I mean, this was done back in Sudden Strike, and that was at least 5 years ago. So the technology is not exactly new, and it's definitely something that Relic could have done. Otherwise, the game, you know, it's fun. It's Dawn of War. Dawn of War is a great game to play. It's a lot of fun. Things definitely changed along the way. They made it a lot better. But, you know, I'm not totally sold on this expansion. I do definitely want to see how the full release plays. Even though, I gotta say, I'm kind of a little upset because, you know, they're selling this as an expansion that has two new races, the Dark Elder and the Sisters. Okay, not to be all, like, you know, technical and everything, but the Dark Elder were combined as part of the Elder in 40K Tabletop with the new Codex. So Games Workshop was like, hey, Dark Elder, not a separate army. They're just going to go in Codex Eldar and be some options you can get in there. You can have some Pirate Eldar. And it's like, okay, so why is Relic saying you get an entirely new race? Because they're not a separate race, they're part of Eldar. So when Eldar were released, you know, these could have been included with them. And if they didn't want to put all of Dark Elder in with the Eldar, that's fine. They could do what they've been doing and release Dark Eldar units as quote-unquote new units for quote-unquote old races. It's definitely something they could have done. And you're thinking, well, Sisters technically aren't a new race either. Well, you know what? You're wrong, actually, because I know people think of Sisters like the female version of Space Marines, and they are. And I always make fun of them, call them the Rainbow League, because I make fun of my friend saying that his sisters are all lesbians and stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But the Sisters are different because they're actually part of the Inquisition. So this opens up a whole new door for Dawn of War to spread out into the Inquisition. And yeah, I've read that this is supposed to be the last expansion for Dawn of War. And you might be thinking, oh, that's the last expansion. No more Dawn of War. Well, I think you're going to be wrong there, because I actually do believe that they're going to release Dawn of War 2. And they're going to take all these expansions and put them into Dawn of War 2, and then make Dawn of War even better. Not just by having all the expansions, but adding all sorts of integral core components to make it a better and different game. It's going to be not just, you know, repackaging all the expansions and put them together and say, hey, we made Dawn of War 2. I actually expect them to do a lot of substance with this and just make it better. There is a highlight to the game, and that is the spells. I gotta say, the spell aspect, sorry about that, the spell aspect, rather, is a really great addition. And, you know, don't let my comments sway you from not playing the demo. The demo is free, so play it. It's not like it's costing you anything. So definitely head on over and try out that demo. You can get it from Steam or all sorts of other gaming websites. It's worth the time to give it a shot. And, you know, you might just like it. And if nothing else, it's a new expansion for Dawn of War, and that alone gives it something that makes it pretty decent to begin with. Anywho, we're getting near the end of the show, and we've been moving right along at a good pace. Sometimes I kind of go off in a tangent and meander around for a little bit, but this has been really fast, and so I'm going to try to slow it down just a little bit here, and I know it will, because I'm going to be talking about vampire counts, and vampire counts are my absolute favorite army for any single game I've ever played. They're not just my favorite fantasy army, they're my favorite Games Workshop army. They're not just my favorite Games Workshop army, they're my favorite army, period. I like them better than the Arachnids for Starship Troopers, I like them better than the Imperium for BFG, I like them better than any of my World of Warcraft card decks. They're incredible, they're wonderful, and they're the last army you would expect me to ever fall in love with. But, you know, I just said it, they're incredible. There's only so many ways I can use synonyms for incredible. But Games Workshop has released more pictures for the Vampire Counts. They have a whole slew of, you know, stuff that they put out. And right now, if you go to the Games Workshop website, you're going to be able to see that the entire range of the Vampire Counts miniatures is available. And when I say available, they're up on the website. You can't order them yet, but you can definitely see the pictures of them all. They changed maybe 70-75% of the models they redid. And overall, that's a good thing. The models look incredible. I talked about the corpse cart last time and the whole Black Death kind of thing. But this week, I want to draw your attention to two rare units. The first one is Vargulf. And this is a monstrous bat, really. It's a vampire bat. And he looks amazing. I'm not sure exactly how much he's going to be going for as of yet, but I do know it's going to be a metal model. It's going to be coming in a box set, and he's just really cool. It's a rare unit, so you know you're going to be restricted how many you have. And actually, I'm sorry, I just was able to look it up in my White Dwarf. Vargulf is going for $25, and that's not bad if you think about it. It's a rare unit, all pewter, just really, really cool, and he looks really good. Vampires, you know, in the mythology, they can turn into bats, or they're related to bats, or they have an affinity for bats. Vampires are monsters, they're evil, they shapeshift, they can become a gaseous form, all sorts of stuff. So having a rare unit that is like this gigantic monstrous bat vampire thing is just really cool. It looks like they took a real vampire bat and then like made him like into a fantasy beast thing. And, you know, taking real-life inspiration and then going off and using that and making something better is really cool. And it's something that Games Workshop does all the time. In White Dwarf, there was a whole article about archetypes and stuff, and you take in an archetype, a base thing. They use, like, the idea about the word Dreadnought and how they went off on that and how they do that with everything. Well, this is an example right here. They took, you know, the mythology of vampires and the look of vampire bats, and then they made this incredible model. He just looks really, really cool, and I'm not entirely sure how he's going to play in-game, but it looks pretty cool. Also, one thing you're going to definitely notice is, that Banshees are no longer a separate solo unit. They put them together with the Wraiths, which used to be a hero choice, and so now, as a rare choice, you can get an entire unit of Wraiths. And kind of like the champion of the Wraiths is a Banshee. So it's kind of a cool way to bring them together and maybe see if people will be using them more. I know that when I had formed my army list and all kinds of stuff before, I looked at the Wraiths and I was like, oh, they look kind of cool, but you know, they don't really fit into my Von Karstein look, and I don't know how I'm going to find the points for another hero when I want lots of core. And I looked at the Banshees and I was like, well, you know, they're kind of fragile by themselves. And do I really want to have another fragile unit in an army that can fall apart at any moment when the general dies? And it's like, nah. But by putting them together, it actually allows them to play off each other's strengths and weaknesses to make them better overall. So they look really cool to begin with. And that alone's half the battle. But I believe if they did anything like I hope they did, that Games Workshop made them an even better unit to use in-game. And then also, they released in the new Black Gobbo, they released this preview of the history and all that kind of stuff about vampire accounts and that kind of thing. And the preview is actually pretty interesting. This is some of the substance that I had said before that Black Gobbo normally doesn't have. And I think they may have just culled this directly from the Vampire Accounts book. And the book, in case you didn't know, is going to be 96 pages long. So it's really cool. But this preview looks really nice. You can get a close-up of the map of the realm of Sylvania. And anyone who likes to do fanfic is going to really like that for the place names. And it gives you kind of a feel for things. Way back when we did a whole, you know, Tale of X-Gamers kind of thing. And I had done Vampire Accounts, and we did this in relationship with a couple other message boards online, 40k message boards, which had then ended up merging and becoming part of War Vault, which is a great website. Go to warvault.net. And anyway, I wrote some fanfic about my Vampire Accounts, and I had to search and find some old PDFs of maps and kinds of stuff like that. Well, you know, now you wouldn't have to, because it's right there in the army book and on the web. Plus, they give you a couple sneak peeks of pages from the army book. They showed the Blood Knights and Count Vlad von Karstein. The print is really, really small on the pages that they share, because I think they really don't want you to see everything. But I'm sure if you blew that up, you could find out some more information about them. They also give you information from the book, you know, the whole full color section about how to collect it and paint them and stuff like that. Because, as I mentioned, Valgrulf is a new one. They totally resculpted the dire wolves. There's a lot of skin, which worries me because I'm not that good at painting to begin with. Never mind skin. They give you ideas about shields and banners. If you like to freehand it, you're going to really like that. And then there's a whole segment on the Blood Knights, and they actually share the stats with us for the Castellan and the Standard Bearer. So I'm just going to share those now with you because, you know, they're freely available, and it's not like you can only get it from the army book. As you know, we firmly believe in not sharing content that you're supposed to buy, so we won't give you in-depth stats or rules or anything like that. But here, it's freely available. So base Blood Knight, which is what a Standard Bearer would be, has Movement 4, Weapon Skill 5, Ballistic Skill 3, Strength 5, Toughness 4. It only gets one wound, Initiative 4, but two attacks, and Leadership 7. The Castellan, same thing across the board, except he gets three attacks. It looks like he's kind of the champion of the Blood Knights for a Blood Knight unit, and obviously Standard Bearer is a Standard Bearer. The Nightmare, which is the steed, got totally resculpted and looks incredible. Movement 8, Weapon Skill 3, obviously no ballistic skill, because how's a horse going to shoot something like a gun or a bow and arrow? But Strength and Toughness 4, gets one wound. Initiative 2, it gets one attack, Leadership 3. So, you know, you pop one of your Blood Knights on one of these Nightmares, it's moving 8 inches, it gets Weapon Skill, they're going to be really good at close combat, be able to take out a lot of stuff, pretty good toughness, great strength. Those two attacks for the Blood Knight is incredible, and it's just really cool. Plus, under the Undead Vampire Special rule, Blood Knights are frenzied, and they come armed with a lance, a hand weapon, and you can also give them heavy armor and a shield. And the Nightmares are barded. So, right there, just think of your armor save. That's pretty incredible. You know, that's about all that they have up right now, but I'm very excited about the Vampire Accounts. They're due out next month, so hurrah! And, well, that's about it, actually. The podcast is gone long enough. I knew I was going to go astray when I talked about the Vampire Accounts, so I do apologize for that. But we're going to draw it to a close now. As always, I want to thank you for listening. Our next podcast will be Thursday, February 7th, 2008. It's hard to believe that January has already gone completely by us. It feels like Christmas was just here. As always, please give us your feedback on the show. You know, otherwise, it's just a bunch of us guys talking to a computer about gaming stuff. And yeah, that's fun, kind of able to hang out and stuff. But your feedback makes the show better. So please email us. You can send feedback through us to us on iTunes. You can go to our blog at wargamingforums.com. You can post comments to our show notes, to our other articles, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, just send us your feedback. And there's also a form, by the way, on our website on the Contact Us page where you can send feedback. Or you can directly email us at cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. And that's our email address. We send it off. We check it often, and we use it to send out the newsletter. So if you send some sort of comments to us there, we're definitely going to read them. And then, you know, we try to put the comments back into our show. So if you left us feedback about this show, next show, you'll probably be able to hear your feedback on the air. So that's about it. And just want to thank you again, as always. You know, website is wargamingforums.com. Has all our show notes and updates and blog articles and all sorts of stuff, because we get to blog a lot more often than we do get to podcast. So thank you, and as always, keep on gaming.